Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the Star Chamber Show, episode number 123. So making some good progress with the show, and tonight is going to be a great one. We were off last week due to the 4th of July holiday falling on a Wednesday night. So we were, took the week off, so we're raring to go. Definitely got our batteries recharged. And tonight's co-hosts, I have with me the one, the only, Daniel Dark. And joining us in a minute, and dragging just a little bit, is Holly Phillippe, but she'll be joining us in progress, and we'll be talking a bit and then getting our awesome guest on for tonight. But first, I will turn it over to Daniel to say hi and catch us up a bit, and then I'll catch you all up a bit in my end.
Well, you know, everything is happening in the book world and the movie world and productions and stuff like that, and, you know, we're just here to help everybody that wants to get a little bit further ahead in their career. And, you know, whether you're writing books and whether you're, you know, directing, producing, you know, doing movies, you know, we want everybody to be able to find a little bit more. And, you know, Stephen has a little bit of influence in the movie industry and book industry and stuff, and has a lot of knowledge that he can impart on people that a lot of people don't even think about. And because of it and everything, I am able to sit here every week and be able to spout out things to y'all that, you know, yeah, I wouldn't have that opportunity otherwise, probably. Because he is on the other end of this program, you know, controlling everything and being able to have have it to where y'all can hear me.
Yes,
this last week and everything, I had my 9th wedding anniversary to my beautiful wife, and we went down to Savannah, Georgia. And I don't know if you've ever been to Savannah, Georgia, but I think it's probably the most beautiful city I have ever been in. If I ever come up missing, you can probably find me down there. But, it was just, you know, a lovely time that we had down there for 6 days, and got back on the 4th to a 100-degree house. Had a big storm and everything come through and knock out my air conditioner while I was gone. And luckily, it was just a breaker. But we almost wound up staying in a motel Wednesday night, too, because it was 100 degrees inside the house. And the air conditioner finally got it cooled down and stuff, so we could actually breathe inside. We sat outside for, like, you know, 4 hours after we got home.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, but definitely, I know you had a great time, and you definitely got some great gifts for sure on your anniversary trip there.
Yeah. One of the gifts that my wife bought me and everything for my anniversary was an Elfin pad or Elfin book, and it's a notepad that is use a water erase pen in, and you can reuse this notepad like indefinitely. It's like it's equal to like 5,000 regular notebooks, and you can sit there and you can download it onto the computer and stuff by taking pictures with your phone or whatever, and you know it'll sit there and it'll sync up with the app that they've got for it and put all the pages. You can draw on it, you can do whatever you want to, and just keep all your notes and everything on your computer that way. And considering I like to do almost everything in longhand, my first writing of it, it helps me out a whole lot. And the only thing you do after you get everything put into the computer, You just sit there and take a cup of water, put it in the microwave, set the book down on top of it, turn it on for about a minute, and it erases everything in the notebook.
Wow.
Huh.
So,
very.
That's weird.
Hey, there's Holly.
So
there she is.
We have a Holler and Holly on board now.
Woo! I'm here. I am here.
Holly in the house. All right.
Well, that little notepad, I had never heard of one. And then me and Steven were talking about him. He had never heard of one either. And it's like, what is this thing? That was pretty cool, though. That's a neat little gift.
Yeah,
where did she find something like that? Was it Amazon?
Online.
Or?
Came up on Facebook at one time, I think. And
I
had saved it and everything, and you know, because it was something that I thought was cool and stuff. That you know, like I said, you just you know put it in the microwave after you copied all your notes and everything onto the computer, put it in the microwave on top of a cup of water, and the steam from the water erases all the pages.
That is so weird.
Wow.
Huh.
Now, the one thing that I did learn is when you're outside riding at nighttime and it's real humid in your area and the dew point is less, whatever you're riding at that point in time, leave those pages wide open because if you close it up,
it'll erase them.
They're no longer there when you go to open it up in the next morning.
Oh man!
I lost like 2 pages of writing the other day because I had been outside and I was writing and everything. The sun went down, and I just kept on writing and stuff. And you know, it was dark outside and I was just writing away. And I turned on the outside light because it's nice out. And the dew had gotten on the pages and stuff. And I closed up the notebook, took it in the house and everything, set it down when I finished up what I was writing, and opened it up the next morning. And it was just like blotches of ink everywhere.
Man.
Okay. That is not readable anymore. The ones that I had written before it turned dark were fine. But anything I wrote after that, when the dew point went drop down below that certain level and the pages, you know, allowed you to work in with the ink. No.
Right. Well, how do you get your information off of them? Do you like hook it up to your phone or a computer or whatever?
If you take your phone, there's an app for the phone and you can line it up over the top of it. And it actually the app will do the pages. You know, it'll get the page lines in there. And just take a picture like with it, with the app, and then you can just download it onto the cloud or onto your computer or wherever you want to go with it.
Huh.
So
that's pretty doggone handy because, well, if you want to write somewhere like you know you like to do and is you know like down in the creek bed or you know way into the woods or somewhere like that, it's inconvenient to carry a laptop. And all that, you know, but heck, this thing, that would be really simple, and it's lightweight, and,
it's
that'd
super
be
lightweight.
Fantastic.
It's like a 5x8 book, you know, it's about the same size as one of our books, you know, paperback books,
right,
and it's about, you know, it's not real thick or anything, it's just about like having, like my new cookbook.
Right,
it's about the same size as that. And, you know, that's, you know, one of the things that you just, you know, put in your bag, carry with you or whatever, and there's no weight involved in it, really. And you can write whatever you want to, you know, when you get back to your computer or you can sit there and do it all on the phone and
just
do it in the cloud
it.
Or whatever you want to do it that way.
Right.
And, you know, it's just, you know, getting back to, and you can draw pictures in it and stuff like that too. So, but,
Well, that's a really good thing for creative to have. That's what I said, because you can, you know, it's ease of use.
Yeah.
You can pack it everywhere. And how long does it hold a charge?
There's no charge on it.
Oh.
There's no charge on it. It's like a regular little notebook. But the paper is some special type of paper that they have on it. And, you know, it's got pages that you flip through. And you're actually writing with a water soluble pen.
Huh?
It's a certain type of pen that
on
it.
So you don't even need to plug it in or anything. You don't need to, nothing.
Nothing.
You could be totally off the grid.
Yep.
That's fantastic.
That is fantastic.
I need to look into one of these. That is fantastic.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't get wet, you're in good shape. The water soluble goes away when it gets wet.
Right. Right. You've learned that the hard way.
The stuff that I had written that had actually dried, and I didn't realize that the stuff that I had written that last had not dried because I wasn't thinking about the dew point. But everything I wrote before the dew point got on the pages, then, you know, all that stuff stayed. But the stuff that I'd written after that is what I lost.
Huh.
And had to recreate. So.
Oh.
Jeez, oh, peace.
But, you know,
it sounds like a neat little thing. It would be good,
For me, it was a real good gift. For me.
Yeah.
That's
because you like I said, to go into the creek beds and stuff like that. But even an artist, I mean, that's ideal. They could go out and
sketch. They have different color pens, so it's not just black.
That's what
pen,
I was wondering if it does different colors.
They've got red, green, all you know, a spectrum of different color pens that you can write with on it.
Wow.
And you know, it's just
That's incredible.
I thought. You know, so like if an artist wanted to do something in color and everything besides just doing a black pen line,
right?
You know, they could do that too on it. So.
Oh, see, that's great. My God, that is fantastic.
That is cool. Dang.
Wow.
Well, I had a week of gifts because last week happened to be my birthday, and we always combine that with the 4th of July celebration and all that good stuff. And had two book releases last week, not one, but two in one week, which but it puts a little pressure on an author, I must say. I've never been through that before. But it was a pretty, pretty cool week. But I don't have anything as cool as Daniel to report as far as fancy pads like that. But I did get some good quality bourbon from some very loyal friends and family. I got Blade and Bow, a Blanton's, and also a single barrel Buffalo Trace. So I got three really premium ones, and then I got a little extra Cassius Clay and a little extra Blanton's brought over by another friend. So I got a lot of bourbon for my birthday. It was good. It was awesome.
And I will report
Buffalo Trace.
I was going to say the Buffalo Trace is actually good. I actually like it, and you know I don't like bourbons, so.
Yeah. Well, I got a bottle of Sexton, but you know.
I did get a gift of a 1898 edition of The Rime of the Ancient Mariner, and I won't blow the cover of the person that gave it, so they'll be harassed all the time, you know, for everybody else's birthday. But that was quite an unexpected gift that came in a padded mailer. And I was like, oh,
that
my
came from
God,
Holly,
when I opened
it
up.
Yeah, yeah, it was for me, I guess, because I was on the envelope.
Yeah, Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner.
I handed it to Stephen.
Edition.
I handed it to Stephen. I said, Stephen, this has my name on it, but I think it's for you.
Yeah. Yeah. When you get a gift like that, it definitely catches you off guard.
It's cool, man.
Open something up and have something like that in the envelope.
You didn't have a copy of that, did you?
No. Yeah, I just have a whole wall full of 1898 editions of books. Yeah, no, it's that's one I. One I definitely did not have.
he had to show it to everybody, and then he's like, Holly, put this up. Put this up.
Oh, yeah, we had to
yeah, had to
put
it up.
Spot really quickly. But it was fun, and we had a good time on the birthday week and holiday week and kind of combined the 4th of July into a celebration of the 4th of July, my birthday, and Dream of the Navigator, my YA book, which came out on the 4th. And so it was a good time. And then 2 days later, we had Winds of War come out. So it was an active week and a fun week. And I even got my old ColecoVision. For those of you who are into console gaming, that was a great console that came out shortly after the Atari 2600 and the first Intellivision, and it was really way ahead of, you know, I mean, it's definitely the best graphics of its time, and I think, in my opinion, and even, you know, as a kid, I thought so, but it's, yeah, it was fun to get that up and rolling, thanks to Retro Rewind of Lexington, Kentucky, helping me with the expert cleaning of a very old console that I finally located in the house, and it was a lot of fun to kind of play some of those old school games again. So,
Steven.
A little bit ago. Mm-hmm.
What book have you put out this year that I can read?
Well, you can read any of them. Good Lord. I mean, I think you'd enjoy any of them, honestly.
He would really enjoy Dream of the Navigator.
What book have you put out?
What book have I put out?
I don't do e-books.
Oh, well,
no,
Dream of the Navigator. Print book. That's print. Yeah.
Dream of the Navigator is a print book. All right.
Yes.
Yes.
Not all of us do e-books if they don't have to.
But put a novella out a month in print would be obscenely expensive, and there'd be no way I could.
Yeah. that's why we have it. But yeah, Dream of the Navigator is e-book and print. So, yeah.
Okay.
And it's a beautiful, beautiful cover.
I've seen the cover of it. I just haven't stopped long enough to sit there and look and see whether it was just an e-book or whether it was a print and e-book.
No.
Sorry, that was my fault.
And it's a story that you would like. You would enjoy it. You would.
Okay.
It's a dystopian society. It's really cool. It's his first YA. But, yeah, it's a phenomenal book.
But it's
now you're not biased though, are you?
I will no. Well, that's her.
Who, me? No,
will,
God,
I
will, no.
I would.
You two should know better than that. Because if I don't like something, I tell you both. I am their beta reader. So for both of these gentlemen, so they. Yeah, if I don't like it, I'd be like, hey, I think you need to change this, or this sounds better, or this is wrong, or, I tell you, you know. I really like it.
Our guests, we're about to bring on, we're a couple minutes behind bringing our guests on, but I will mention real quickly, though, Daniel, there will eventually be a print compendium. There will not be an e-book.
Yeah.
E-book editions, as they exist now, will remain individual novellas, but there will be a print compendium that is released that will have these grouped together for the people that only want print. So eventually they'll
do that at the end of the year.
But yeah, I hope so.
You gonna try to do that for the end of the year?
Hopefully.
I hope so.
Hopefully.
you'll have 12 by then, won't you?
Yeah, just about.
You have to proceed real carefully.
So that would make a good
otherwise you can get
door
a lot
stop.
Of trouble.
A good compendium.
Yeah.
A good dozen.
Well, I am going to bring aboard our guest because we're just coming up behind. This is an extended show tonight. So we'll be, you know, going a little bit over another hour and 10 minutes with him. We met him in person for the first time at Imaginarium. Let Holly give a couple comments, but I mean, I think he's an extremely talented filmmaker. Personally, I'm excited about having him aboard because he's one of these very visionary world-building, storytelling-type folks that wants to not only work in the area of film and TV, but he also is moving into developing his franchises in gaming and books. And so he's very much a cross-media, multimedia kind of guy. And so that's going to be a lot of fun to talk about with him. But I'll give – before we announce him, I'll let Holly give a few remarks because she just loves our guest tonight as I do. So.
He's also tied to one of our seven-star press authors.
Yes, he is.
And that's how we actually, you know, got in to know him. And I met him at Imaginarium last year, and he had the coolest business card I've ever seen in my life. It was literally a cube, a little wooden cube that was like a puzzle piece thing, and you could fold it out, and it would be flat. But then you put the pieces together, and it made a little cube. Neatest thing I ever seen. But he is a master of merchandising. I mean, he has coffee mugs, and I've seen Bishop Stephen holding one of these coffee mugs from his movie Submerge, and it's just phenomenal. He really knows how to market, and I love his out of the box thinking and ideas. Yeah, he's phenomenal, and he's going to go and do great things. I'm telling you, this is only the beginning, and I will go ahead and let Stephen introduce him.
And on that note, we proudly welcome Demetrius LaShawn Witherspoon to the Star Chamber
Woo!
Show. Welcome.
Hey,
hello,
Demetrius. Hello, how you doing?
Hey, man.
You hear me okay?
Good to hear you.
We can hear
good
you.
Good to hear you.
I'm so
excited.
Yeah,
welcome to the Star Chamber.
I know. I
get
the bourbon
got you on here.
The fun begins. Yes.
That's right. You know, it's something seeing you guys on Facebook and listening to you guys, and now I'm on the show, and it's like, wow. All right, let's go.
Well, let's do this.
Let's do this.
Yeah, I can't. I take no responsibility for whatever Holly says on the show, but
we love you, Holly. We love you.
She's unpredictable. She's a ball of fire. But man, it's good. You are a busy guy. I mean, every time I turn around, you've got announcements coming out. You've got all kinds of things being developed in your projects. Just give us a quick overview of Submerge. Echo 51 and how it fits into the whole Submerge world, and then tell us a little bit about where you're at right now with everything, and then I know Daniel's got some specific things to ask you about, but just to give the audience an idea of your work.
Okay. Well, I wrote a sci-fi series called Submerge, and the first three parts, installments, was about a character named Nyree, who was thrown into the multiverse and had to find her way out and find her daughter. So we did that and had a small distribution in Japan with it. And so I was like, well, let's go further into the multi-universe and expand the universe. And then I came up with Submerge Echo 51, which we wanted to try to make the best sci-fi we could with it and have it lead into our feature, which we'll be starting on next year, Galaxy of Subversion.
Very cool. And you've worked with some pretty good names. I know Holly let one slip, Mr. Bishop Stevens. But yeah, you've gotten some pretty good talent on these projects with you. Is there something you'd like to highlight here?
Well, I've been blessed to be able to work with very talented people. And like you said, Bishop Stevens, when he came on board, it was just, I couldn't believe, you know, I was like, this is independent, you know, this is a small little deal. And now I want to be on this. And, you know, so when we signed him on, that was about the same time that he was really with Empire and things like that. He would drive film with us on Nyree Reborn and then drive up to Chicago to be on Nyree Reborn. So as his movie career really started to grow, you know, he's been along to really encourage us and be aboard. So it's been a blessing to do
He's
that.
Phenomenal.
Just so many other talented actors been able to work with. Katie O'Brien, she's been on The Walking Dead, and she's on a TV show now. And Jerome Davis, he's on Empire now. And so many other people.
You got Grace in there too, don't you? You got Gracie now?
Yes, I have Grace Kelly.
Grace Kelly. Yes.
We're gonna be,
we love Grace.
Yeah. She worked on you guys.
Yes.
She's working with us. It's just a pleasure to have her on set. I can't wait to work with her in production. The audition was just, she did an outstanding job.
She's phenomenal. She will get right in there and help you with anything you need. She is a multi-hat expert. She will.
She is.
Yeah, she'll get right in there.
Yeah.
Oh, God, she's a soldier, yeah, and literally is a veteran.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she's a true trooper on set. Yeah, because
yeah,
I definitely can vouch for her.
Yeah, you got a phenomenal group there. You do.
Yeah, and you also got a phenomenal group for your expansion, which we'll get into that some of that discussion later. But I do want to highlight the author that Holly alluded to, and that's John F. Allen, who is an extremely gifted author who I've had the honor of working with on some of his book releases. But he's done novelization work with you, and so you've gotten to work with some top-notch writers as well with your expanding of the universe into other mediums.
Yeah, and that was when I'm able to do that, it really, like you said, expands the universe. And John really he brought a lot to that to expand that. And a lot of people, they say, oh, was the movie based off the book? And it's like, no, it's the other way around. The book is, inspired by the movie. So it really expands that universe even more so. And so we were happy to work with John on that.
Yeah, we'll have to get John on sometime soon to talk about we have talked about adaptations, where a movie's been adapted from a book. But just as you mentioned, this is a novelization where the novel has been adapted from the movie. So that's a
that
whole different ballgame when it comes to writing, and it's going to be kind of fun to talk to John a little bit about that. So we'll have to definitely get him aboard to talk, and
maybe
have to ambush him with a call late in the show on that one, but and say hi. Who knows? He may call today. Who knows? Who knows who might call? Yeah, we will open the line up later in the hour, but we want to give Demetrius time to chat for a bit before he gets harassed too much by our audience. But we've got I know Daniel, just to get into some of the more kind of questions about your craft and directing and things like that. I know Daniel had some things he wanted to definitely ask you about while you're with us. So Daniel, you've got the floor, sir.
All righty. Demetrius,
hey.
Running a production company and writing and directing, I know that keeps you very busy, with a project like Echo 51 and all the different things that you're doing. How do you separate your time to keep your life balanced?
That's a good question. It's very tricky. With a family, you have to be balanced in the work and things like that, and so it just gets a little tricky. But this is not only my passion, but it's a source of income also. So I truly look at it as a business, and so therefore there are some late nights I don't sleep sometimes. So, or I get an idea and I wake up 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I have to let it out and get it done, and especially with writing, once I get going, I kind of don't want to stop. And so, you know, I can do a lot of pages with the writing, and then it kind of helps having like my production manager to sound it off with, you know, and kind of read through it together. And so, you know, to have a little team too helps.
Okay. How does your, you're talking about having a family and everything, how does your family feel about all the different things that you're doing?
Well, it depends. It depends on what's going on. No, my family has been supportive. My wife played in my first two films. My daughter was 14 years old, and she learned how to do the boom mic. So it's been a family affair. And as we've gotten bigger, you know, they have been like over the key departments in the production. So when we started out, it was just eight of us on the first Emerge film, and then we did another, and then the next one, there were 30 people on set, you know, with the extras and things like that. And so it's been a family affair, but just keeping it balanced, and my family keeps me grounded because, you know, without them, I wouldn't be able to do what I do.
Without I understand that. Without my
yeah,
wife
Daniel,
and everything, I wouldn't be able to do anything that I do.
Well, that's the one thing I get hammered on, Demetrius, in the home front. Holly's always using that word, that word balance. I don't know what that means, but she always keeps using that word with me. And she claims
yeah.
I have to live in a world away from work, but there's a world other than work. I don't know.
There is.
I know.
She hammers on me.
I know.
I quit this afternoon and went swimming for a couple hours. I'm like, I'm out of here. And Stephen wouldn't get up, but I'm like, I'm gone. I'm going to walk away. You sit there. I'm gone.
I promise. I will look into this word balance, and I will try to figure out what it means. I promise.
You have to maintain some sanity. Oh my God, it would drive you nuts. Because in our world, you know, Demetrius, he well knows, in our world, you can never get it all done. There's no such thing.
Yeah.
It isn't like going to a 9-to-5 job where you can go in, you've got this and this and this to do. Bam, 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 you get it done, you walk out at 5 o'clock, you know, you don't have to worry about it. Our job
yeah.
is never done. So,
no,
you know, yeah,
and,
you have to walk away.
Yeah.
You just have to. You have to say, hey,
yeah.
I got to do this for me, you know, and for your health
mm-hmm.
and sanity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes it's, like I said, it's hard to do that and shut
mm-hmm.
my brain off, you know, and have a normal conversation instead of it always being about the merge and what's coming up next. And so
mm-hmm.
Those are the challenges, you know, and we work through it. But most definitely, you know, the family's been supportive, you know, like
mm-hmm.
film festivals and things like that, you know, being able to be there and things like that.
Right.
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 Mm-hmm.
All right, Daniel.
No,
go for
another,
it.
Another question's totally off the books and everything.
Oh no!
I know that you have to have a budget for your films. What type of budget do you normally start with? You know, for all the different projects that you do, and you know, where how and where do you obtain you know all the capital that you need to do a production nowadays?
Well, you know, it depends on the project, and you know, you're looking at for one thing, sci-fi is one of the hardest genres to film. You know, people
uh-huh.
can do drama, what have you. Action would be right up there with sci-fi, but it's hard to pull off a good sci-fi film because
mm-hmm.
of the visual effects and things. And the extra time you have to spend with that. So all that
yep.
has to factor in and trying to create a location that's believable, either it be visually green screen, blue screen, or you physically be there. So you kind of work with
right.
what you can. So budget can vary from project to project. For me, all my films up to Echo 51 has been funded by me. We did do some GoFundMe with Echo 51 and plus some donations from different ones to the project. But ultimately, it was funded by me. And so that's a big thing.
Yeah, it is.
That's a lot. There's a lot to do, you know. You're feeding everybody,
yep.
you're taking care of locations and things like that. And so it can have its challenges.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, speaking of the challenges and everything, time frame of each project, you know, varies and stuff. You know, what was the shortest allotted time that you were given to start and finish a project? And, you know, what was the final product and what became of it?
I think the shortest was, as Holly and them mentioned, I have other merchandise that goes along with my films, which, reflects back to my movie. So I have a perfume oil inspired by the movie, which is unisex.
Mm-hmm.
It's a unisex oil. So we shot a perfume commercial using a local model, Rachel Madison. And it just popped in my head. I was like, you know what? To promote this perfume, I want to do a commercial. And so I just drew it up, and within like a couple of weeks, we started shooting the commercial. And it turned out really good, and from that, got images into model magazines and things like that from the shoot. So
nice.
I think that would be the fastest shoot that we did and come up with.
So about 2 weeks you're talking about?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Wow.
I was dealing with, we still have visual effects. There was a prop that was built that raised up, and smoke and things like that would come out of it. So the team, we worked really good on that and got that out.
2 weeks, that's amazing.
And how long was the final product? What, 30 seconds
like
or a minute?
It was about a minute. It was about a minute. And then I did like a 30-second one and I think a 15-second one. But,
mm-hmm.
yeah, 30-second one. So we could put it on, you know, TV or different social media platforms so it could be seen there. So it worked out pretty good.
So basically what you're trying to tell everybody to do a justice and everything to that project and everything, it took 2 weeks to
mm-hmm.
get 1 minute worth of filming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
yep.
you know, being a creative mind, you want to think the biggest thing. I'm looking at all these perfume commercials, you know, they got all these actors running down a highway or out on a beach somewhere, you know, you're thinking big, but it's like, okay, what can I do with pretty much almost no money and feed the crew and, you know, what location can I use to get this done? And so we shot at the production studio, the box, and just kept it simple, and I think it worked out pretty good.
Cool. Awesome. That's amazing that, you know, and you did that just on your money that you had right at the time, which for knowing creatives and everything, that's, you know, change out of your pocket.
Right. Yeah, we're not billionaires.
And
yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, And some people got it like that, and but I don't. But
right.
You know, it's
we don't either.
It's, right. I say it's between you know, working with what you got, but also networking with people. That's very important.
Oh yeah.
Another people on that project or some kind of way.
Yep.
You know, and paying them too, but also networking with them, and that comes back, you know. And I've been blessed to be able to know so many talented people that you know, I can require their services, you know, and pay that way.
Yeah, because
like
when you got
your blessing us with being here on tonight, so you know.
Yeah,
without
say,
charging
Daniel
us anything
goes,
for all your information.
Yeah, before Daniel goes on, I wanted to dive in here, though, and point out that Demetrius is making a really good point, because for indie filmmakers, when you have a really a concept with high potential, like the Submerge franchise, I mean, you will part of what we would call investment in the project is often in-kind support. And that could be somebody letting you use their Steadicam, you know, unit, or could be, you know, somebody with a certain skill set that's willing to come and work for a couple of days to make sure you get the right prop.
Yeah,
makeup
or costuming.
I mean,
people
in-kind investment, it's not calculated in dollars spent out of the pocket sometimes, but sometimes it's, you know, it's an investment that does, you know, if you actually had to spend, you know, hard cash on it, would cost quite a bit. And I know that, you know, Demetrius, I mean, yeah, he's gotten a really, really, you know, nice production value accomplished. So, I mean, yeah imagine you have quite a few stories of that where somebody has stepped forward to either, you know, bring you, you know, something physical to the project or a service or a skill set.
You know, it's you know, it really takes a team and a group effort to accomplish something. I mean, you know that with the project you guys worked on, and I've been blessed to be able to know so many people, and we're working for a common, you know, thing to make this vision come alive. And my thing is not only is it, I make it where people feel that they're putting something of themselves in it, and so something they can be proud of. And so I'm doing this. I'm not doing it just for me, but I'm doing it for the actors, the people that are involved, and because. I'm not going to just let it sit on a shelf. Hey, I did this. All right, I'm done.
Right.
And I'm moving on to the next one. No, I'm going to put this out to the world, and your names are going to be on it. And, you know, it's something that you can say, hey, I worked on this, and that's going to help you get this. And that has really come about with Echo 51. There's so many people on this project that have gotten other paid jobs and recognition.
Well, I think too that, you know, you raised a good point about taking it to the world. Oh, just a minute, Holly, on this one, but because it is an important one. When he is working in science fiction, certain genre that's very popular is fandom. What you create when you create a franchise like this, and he's taking it into, you know, merchandise areas, like you mentioned the perfume, he's taking it into books, he's taking it, you know, I want to ask him shortly about the gaming side of things and movies, TV. But what happens is you build around a franchise like that, the fan base then grows, and they begin to become almost like, you know, they begin to feel like owners of it. Because you look at the Star Wars fan base, you look at the Star Trek fan base, it's not just the creators at that point, but the fans suddenly feel like they, you know, and all, everybody that's been involved with it suddenly feels like, yeah, this is mine too. And it's really interesting to watch how that happens. And it's mainly a genre thing. You typically only see it with genre type projects. But eventually it does. You kind of have to watch your baby – get adopted by the fan community and everybody that's been working on the various aspects of the project. And that's exactly what Demetrius is developing on an indie level. And I think that's a really cool thing to point out because, mm-hmm. you're giving it to the world and it takes on a life of its own at that point.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, Stephen, let me ask Demetrius this. Have you seen any cult-like following happening with your project yet? I know it's only been out there for a short time, and there's a lot of people that have worked on it, but that cult following mm-hmm. that you have in different movies and stuff, have you seen any of that happen yet?
The only way I can describe it is like we have some loyal fans. And sometimes right. you don't know who they are until uh-huh. they come up to you on the booth and say, "Hey, I watched your film. This is how I feel about it." Prime example of that is we had just did the premiere of Echo 51, and I had a booth, and someone came up and said, "Hey, I want to pre-order the movie. I want to pre-order the book. You know, my daughter bought your movie last year. She's in Las Vegas, and she told me to come right to this booth and buy your book and movie because she wants to finish the story." And I was just like, "Wow, this is mm-hmm. I didn't know I was affecting somebody that way." And he's like, "I'm kind of upset with you." I was like, "Why's that?" He's like, "Well, I went to your premiere last night, and I wanted more. It was too short." And I was just like, "Wow, I did not know it was at the premiere."
That's a good problem to have. That's a good problem to have.
Yeah. So,
awesome.
So the answer to the question is yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've found that the doing the conventions, having a booth, really have that face-to-face with fans and I'm good with that, and the cast that I have now is really good with that, and so that really helps. I think it's very important to build that, other than just having it online somewhere. You're building that rapport with your fan base.
Yep.
It doesn't hurt too that you're very approachable, Demetrius. I mean, that's something I can't say enough about to creatives is, be receptive to your fans. And because Demetrius is a perfect example. He's very easy to talk to, easy to approach, easy to...
Well, and I rarely even see...
Easy to like. I talked to him for like 2 minutes and I already liked him on the phone. When I first talked to Demetrius.
When I've seen him at Imagineering, he rarely was even sitting. He was standing up talking to somebody that was mm-hmm. walking past the booth mm-hmm. and answered questions. And, he was always engaging with someone, mm-hmm. And I don't know how many times we have to tell authors and creatives, you cannot sit behind your booth and play on your phone or on your computer and ignore people. And nobody's going to buy your stuff. You've got to engage mm-hmm. people. Exhausting, but you got to do that. And then walk away, take a break, come back, recharge, and
right.
be on, because people love to talk to you. They want to get to know you, and
right.
that's how mm-hmm. you get your fans. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and even if they don't buy anything, you've had a conversation
yep.
with them, and you don't know when they'll come back. They'll see you somewhere else and say, "Hey, you know what? I want to get that. I didn't get it last time."
Right.
And it's happened. It's happened.
Right. Or they'll see it maybe on the internet or something, be like, "Oh, yeah, I talked to that person. I know him. I'm going to buy that book,"
Oh, no,
yeah.
I've seen it happen
yep.
to me, and I'll give you an example. I've talked to people more than once that are like straight up, "Hey, I can't stand, fantasy and things like that. I just read, mysteries or thrillers or whatever." But mm-hmm. you talk to them and have a good conversation, and lo and behold,
mm-hmm.
they have a sister or an uncle or a child,
yeah.
Somebody else that does like that. and they, because they get a, you know, a good rapport with you, they're like, hey, you know, I'll recommend them. I have gotten readers more than once by talking to people that hate what the kind of genre I write. It's true.
Yeah, right.
It's so true.
And then they'll buy something. It happens. And then, you know, you pick up another fan. So, along the way, it's all about networking. Yep. Networking's a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Holly brought up something earlier and everything. I've got to ask you, where did you come up with the cube?
Actually, that's a die. Actually, if you would have two cards, that's a die. So there is a local company, Geeks First. They make card game holders and dice towers and things like that out of wood. And so that's one of his things. He makes these business cards. And so, tried them out at Gen Con and people went like crazy, like, oh my goodness, you know, I've seen people in their own podcasts, you know, swirling this thing around in their hand. I was like, that looks like one of my dice you got there. And he's like, oh yeah. it's just a real neat, and we've really partnered up with Geek First. You can check out their line of different things they have, game accessories, at geekfirst.com, very talented, and they have a lot of things to offer.
It is the best business card I've ever seen.
And that's the reason that you want to sit there and network, because man that's not even on this podcast just got an advertisement and an endorsement from an important person.
True. I tell you more I listen to Demetrius, the more I think nothing is impossible. Someday it could happen. Submerge the musical on Broadway with Bishop Stevens singing like one of the lead songs. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible.
Yeah, nothing's impossible. We can put him in a little tattoo and
if that happens, I will make a trip to New York to see that, and I don't care how much.
Yes, by all means. We had the pleasure of working with Bishop too, and I must say he is the most comical feller. I tell you, I laughed so hard I thought I was going to die. I mean, he had me doubled over. I'd be like, Bishop, you got to shut up. I can't take it. He just cracks me up. I tell you what, he's great, man.
Yeah, we have a good time with Bishop. He's such an upstanding guy, and he's really helpful to ones trying to come up in the business. He helps me, you know, on some things, because you do need a mentor, you know, in the sense of moving forward.
Sure, absolutely.
You don't know it all, and so that's what I enjoy about the friendship with Bishop.
And see, that's the people that do make it, is what you just said, I don't know it all. That is profound, because the people that think they know it all, well, they're not going anywhere, because – nobody knows it all. It's a learning experience every day.
Every day.
Every day.
And while we're on the subject of not knowing it all, we don't know who might call in, but we are, from now to the end of the show, we have about 36 minutes left. I will leave it open for calls. I'll be watching. 619-639-4616. Again, that number is 619-639-4616. It's also on the page that you link to listen to the show. The call guest number is on there. Use that to call in. And so if any of you would like to call in now to talk to Demetrius, I will be watching for calls from now to the end of the show. And we've got about 36 minutes left, just under. So I'd love to hear from somebody to surprise our awesome guest tonight. So there, turn it back to you guys. So go ahead, Daniel.
All right. I know that weather and lighting and all that, you know, plays a big challenge, you know, along with everything else. Can you give us a funny story from your experiences and what you did to save the day when everything went wrong?
Well, everything didn't go wrong with the crew themselves, but the day, like you said, we knew it was going to kind of snow somewhere later on in the day, and we was working on the rain music video for Shauna Bedford. And so I'm telling you, it was kind of warm out almost, and we were filming at a fire training facility because it was kind of based on a 9/11 kind of like scene, the song was. And so we had close to 70 people on set with extras. And by the time we really got going, here comes the rain and here comes the snow. And so it was just like the show must go on because we can't turn 70-something people away. We had the fire department out there. They drove in a fire truck, and we had 3 firemen on set. And so it worked out for the best because a lot of people who watched the music video said it looked like ash falling in the sky, you know, walking around the farm and things like that. And we had big smoke out there and stuff. So, and you know, it was challenging because, trying to keep everybody warm. I had layered up, my DP had layered up really good. And, we were just out there. I only probably went in once, but we stayed out there until we got done.
Yeah, when you're filming, you gotta. It ain't a matter of if something will go wrong. You plan for everything to go wrong because you gotta plan. You know, you gotta have plan B, C, D, 3, you know, and on and on and on. And then, like you said, a lot of times it ends up working out better than the way you first, you know, seen it. So that works out.
You can plan down to the millisecond, but you just throw those out the window and just keep filming. You know, you get behind.
Yeah, you come on set, throw it out.
You just start to lose daylight, and it can be a beat for sure.
Yeah, when you're at
Demetrius
certain
right
locations,
there. When we went to shoot a scene at Cove Spring Park once, Demetrius, we had selected it because it had this gorgeous broad creek, beautiful water flowing down.
And
beautiful, beautiful creek. And the day we decided to go out to shoot there, lo and behold, we got to the set and creek is
90
dry.
People on set.
Not a drop.
Yeah.
Wow.
Bone dry.
Dry.
What? And so what do? We decided to shoot our fight scenes in this cool creek bed and got some cool
And it looked,
you
it
got
looked
to roll
more,
it.
You know, badass than what it would have if it had been water. Perfect.
So,
but it's like, where's the water? Steven's like, where's the water? I said, I don't know. What in the world? But we had 90 people on set that day, and I'm like, well, we got to roll with it, you know?
The show must
go on. I think they knew
we
were low-budget filmmakers. They turned the water off before we got there. That's
right, the whole creek,
somebody was even saying, can we get some, you know, brought in? I said, do you realize how many daggone water trucks we'd have to get in here?
There's no way.
I'm not bringing in water. I had people, you know, ask me that, and I'm like, no, that's not happening.
Oh my goodness.
No, I'd have to get semis in here no, it's not happening.
Yeah. And I heard
y'all
were way down.
$5 million. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, y'all were way down.
We're out in the middle of nowhere. But
yeah,
it actually works out because,
filmmaking.
You know, Yeah. But there was no grass around, or, you know, they could fight right in the creek bed. It was perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we made use of it. But, he is so right about that. You just have to – everything that can go wrong typically does, and you just have to kind of learn how to flow with it. You really do.
Right. It goes for actors, too. You know, sometimes things happen and – as long as it's not your principal actor or actress, there's been some people I was just like, okay, but the show must go on. You're not coming in, you know, or not being able to make it. I've chose one of the extras and said, read these lines and I'll come out and check on you, you know. And he fit the part. So he got the part. He got bumped up, so.
Right.
Don't look down at being an extra, you know. Things can happen.
That's right.
Oh, yes.
That's right.
Most definitely.
Well, things get rewrote right in the middle. I mean, Steven had parts that he rewrote right there on set, you know. I mean, things happen, and you got to just go with the flow. You can't be one of these uptight people that, you know, are going to freak out because it's the wrong business for you then, let me tell you.
Oh, it's the wrong business. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You got to have thick skin and nerves of steel to get through the filming process. It's not all glamour.
And it helps to have a good bulldog. I'm the bulldog. Steven's good cop, I'm bad cop. It's always good to have bad cop on set.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you gotta have a good AD and a good team, you know. That just helps out because as a director, you know, you got so much other stuff to worry about. You know, who put my makeup on?
All the drama.
I don't have time for that.
Well, I'm saying, Demetrius, if you become president of your own country, do not have Holly be your ambassador or diplomat. Bad idea.
Ambassador of goodwill?
Goodwill, yeah.
But it comes.
I am not diplomatic at all. I call it like I see it, you know, and I just don't put up with
stupidity. She's a little more blunt than I am, yeah.
I'm very blunt.
You do need those people. You do need those people. You do, because it's you do need diplomacy at times, but sometimes you do need that one, you know, more harsh person to make sure people are on track and, you know, keeping things on course time wise, because that's of the essence in the indie film.
Oh,
I mean, you only have limited time and money to spend.
That's it.
Right.
And keep them fed. You keep them fed. You keep them happy.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Gotta keep it fed.
When it comes to one of your projects, though, Demetrius, what do you think about the word quit?
I don't know. I don't even know that word because, you know, it's just if something's not working out, there's always another way around it. There's a scene in my movie where I, you know, there's supposed to have been a whole, war room, and I was waiting for this place to get into to do it, and could never meet the person that was over it, and we were getting down to, you know, like 5 days till principal shooting, and so, you know, I just put it out to my crew. I'm like, I'm having a hard time doing this. And then my visual effects guy was like, oh, well, we just can throw that in visually, you know, do a visual effect on it, which I was trying to go for practical, but hey, that was the key to what we needed, and it turned out really good to what we needed. So I was thankful for that. So,
awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
very
practical
cool.
Is the, you know, way to go, but there is times that, yeah, it's just not feasible, you know, and you have to go with the special, the CGI later on. We have that few incidents of that too. But yeah, a lot of times it turns out being better. You know, that's what I said. It just, you know, sometimes it works out for the best.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you're, you know, they tell you to work with what you got, and that's kind of hard when your mind is just, you have all these things you really want to do. And so sometimes you just got to kind of push just a little bit harder, and sometimes you'll get what you exactly want. You know, you don't have to give so much away. So that's something I continue to keep in mind.
Well, I imagine working in science fiction, that's always coming up because, I mean, that's a genre where, you know, I mean, the sky's the limit and beyond, I mean, in terms of what you can or want to do with, you know, that genre, dealing with, you know, science, the whole realm of science fiction. So that's got to be, you know, something you're always kind of run up against in a way. I was curious, actually, science fiction, is that is that always been the genre that you have loved from the beginning? Is that I mean, are you doing right now the genre that you kind of grew up always wanting to do, or is it something that emerged later?
No, this is something I always wanted to do. You know, between this and fantasy, I mean, I grew up, you know, of course, watching Star Wars and Battlestar Galactica and Superman, you know, all of that. Stargate, you know, I love this, is Star Trek. So, you know, when I started writing, that was the thing. I was like, okay, this is the kind of world I want to create, you know. At the time when I first started, it was kind of a twist between Stargate and The Matrix. I loved The Matrix, that series. And so, you know, so all those different genres kind of mixed together to create this world that I have now.
Very cool. And I love how you mentioned you grew up on Battlestar Galactica, so you know what I mean when I say, didn't you just love Cylons with their bayonets on their laser rifles?
That's right. That's right. And that little, you know, the little light going past there, you know.
Great stuff, man.
Yeah, I always allude to, I finally got to meet the, you know, the stars of the 1970-80 show there, the original Battlestar Galactica, and to go out to dinner with Richard Hatch and all of them. It was just mind-blowing. It's just like, man, I've seen all you guys on TV, and now we're doing lunch together. All those things, you know, affected me when I was younger, and I always enjoyed those kind of movies.
Very cool. Yeah, I think it's awesome, too. Yeah, those are some of your roots, too, with Battlestar Galactica and Star Wars and things like that. I mean, I was really curious to see if that was indeed your foundation, because I kind of sensed it a little bit. But that's cool to see you follow through on that.
Yeah, and the thing I started to do, you know, looking at Lucas and what he did, not only with the movies, but with the merchandising, I was like, okay, as an independent filmmaker, what else can I do on my level that will, I can do merchandising, which not only expands what I'm doing, but brings attention back to my film, because if somebody's got a shirt or a mug, somebody's going to say, what is that? Oh, that's from this movie. And they go back.
It's like free advertising.
And so that is, you know, I have a folder that's full of marketing ideas. When stuff comes across Facebook, or I'm literally doing research on marketing and things that I can do on my end to support the film, because a lot of that money goes back to the film and what I've put into it. So it's just another way of supporting that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Demetrius, I have a special surprise for you. We do have a caller.
Hey,
and
right.
Oh my God, he is always on fire, and his last name rhymes with that word. It is the one and only Eric Kier on the line live. Welcome,
what's
Eric.
On,
hey, what's up?
Hey.
What is up, sir? Man,
it's all good.
Nobody knows this, but I'm like one of Dimitri's biggest fans.
What?
Yes.
I love the Submerged series. I think I love the gonads this guy carries with him, you know, to do something like that on an independent level. And I just, man, I adore him for it. And this is like really cool for me that you tell you, you know, like voice to voice, you know. Typing it on Facebook or something. But, you know, when you pull in people like Paisley, love her, Bishop Stevens, pulled him in. Yeah, man, that's some awesome stuff, man.
Well, thanks. Yeah, we are trying to do our best for everybody so they can enjoy, you know, the world that we're building. So it's wonderful to work with those guys. And, you know, we'll be working with Silvio next, and working with Jay Hitch from Fast and Furious on the next project, Galaxy of Subversion. So we really appreciate your support as we go forward.
That's
well,
awesome.
Any kind of Indigo thing going on, I don't know how you work your finances, but I mean, you wouldn't be the first person that I have supported in that manner. That I can tell you, because I believe in the concept, what you're doing, and I mean, I'm definitely a backer.
Well, I appreciate that. You inbox me on Facebook and we'll get you a poster out to you, okay? A signed poster.
Okay, awesome.
Fantastic. Right.
See, there are benefits to calling in on the Star Chamber show, folks. Look
That's
at
right.
that swag. Swag
get
for that callers.
Easy.
See, so many people are timid at calling in. But Eric Kier is on fire, and he knows how
That's
it's done.
Right.
Hey, let me tell you something. I'm a big supporter of the indie film in our region, bar none. And anybody that knows me will tell you that, you know, whether if it's just something as small as sharing posts or whatever, I've given to many Indigos because I believe that in the talent that's in our area. So I have no problem supporting the family that's in this region. No problem at all.
And
well,
we appreciate you, Eric. Everything
you do.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Eric
Most definitely has
pitched in, helped us with many things on the Raiden project. And yeah, he even had an acting role in the Raiden project. So
he even had an acting role.
Yes, he did.
He had the world's best urination scene ever seen in cinema.
Ever.
Nobody urinates better than me. Nobody.
That's right. The best.
We got that documented.
All right.
Now, Demetrius is like, I got to see this.
it was glorious. I tell you, it was glorious.
No,
that's
he's
a shining
no,
moment.
Kidding
right
aside,
there.
Though, he's a... Eric is a fantastic actor, and in post-production, he's a wizard when it comes to, you know, the world of audio and music composition and things like that. And yeah, he's one of the people we were talking about earlier with Demetrius as far as those kind of people that step forward to make a project succeed.
Yep.
So, yeah, most definitely. And like I said, you know, it's very much, you know, I say this often on the show, but it's very much a community thing. When it comes to getting indie film, you know, seen on the national kind of level and advancing it to that kind of stage. and that's definitely where all this all comes together.
It truly takes a village. You know, you can't do it alone.
No, you can't. You can't. And, you know, some people that might seem like they're struggling, I would say, you know, you need to find your community, your filming community, mm-hmm. and go out and network with them, support them. You know, network with them. And that's where you're going to find your support.
Right.
It's just a must to move forward.
I'll tell you something else, Dimitri. Please chime in on this, but, you know, it is legitimately an art to be able to know how to support somebody. And, you know, mm-hmm. you've got to be able to tune in to the vision sometimes in a very quick manner and be able to, whatever you're doing on the project, you have to be able to tune into the vision to support that vision, to make the vision come to pass.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, and having people, like you said, that that the ones that you're networking with or even your cast, that they're in tune with that.
Right.
When I sit with my cast, I'm letting them know, look, these are the things, this is where this thing is headed. And when the things I said of where it was headed, I'm doing it, you know. And I think that's why they're being very supportive of me. But just letting them know, you know, this is a community thing. When I'm about to push something out, I'm inboxing all my actors. Look, I need everybody to push at the same time. We need to push together,
yeah.
you know, to move this train. And
yeah.
that's one of the reasons I think has helped, you know, this production to move forward because of a team effort from the cast on. And like was said before, you know, that makes them feel part of it too. You know, it helps them also.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I got a question for Dimitri, and you guys might have already talked about it, but I'm just kind of catching up. But Dimitri, you've got someone on your cast or crew, and I'm going to say it this way: they don't understand their value. As far as being on your team, how do you encourage someone when they don't understand their value as far as, you know, what, you know, their contribution to the project? How do you handle that as a director and an executive producer?
Well, for one thing, I personally either call them or I'll inbox them to see how they're doing. And also letting them know that they are, you know, they're needed. They're part of this production. The other thing is when I'm doing booths at conventions and things like that, I'm inviting them to come out. That's your time to shine, you know. You know, I have posters that I've made just of their character. And for them to interact with the public, you know,
that's cool.
What, you know, on this kind of level, independent level, how many people get to do that?
Right.
Actors, you know, not until mm-hmm. they hit Marvel and all that, those kind of like things that they really kind of have that atmosphere, you know,
yes.
a lot of people. So. I bring that kind of, that's why I call it a submerged experience. So I just try to encourage all my actors, you know, you're a big part of this submerged experience. And then, you know, once they get that feedback from the fans and crowd, then they understand what is happening. I'm telling you, it happens every time, you know. Yeah.
That's good stuff, man. That's good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We did that, I was going to say, for Imaginarium last year. Silvio and Tori come, and I Silvio, you know, I told him print him out some like pictures and he could sign them. And so, yeah, he sit over there and we put some Raiden posters up and everything. And as I said, it's great to be able to support the indie actors too, because, you know, they don't get that, those moments in the shining spotlight, like, you know, in Hollywood or, you know, places like that. And
yeah,
and they
yeah.
that makes them feel great. And then the people that do support, because there is a huge amount of fans that do support local filmmakers and the indie community, and they love to be able to meet the actors and interact with them.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, it's wonderful to be able to do that and give them that platform. So I give you kudos for that, Demetrius, because that's fantastic.
Well, thank you. And you know, and it's good for the fans too, because they might not know these actors or maybe seen them in anything, but you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen it with the actors I have. You don't know who's going to be the next big thing. You know,
that's true.
They go
right.
out, after they did my film, they
right.
go out to L.A. and you know, just like Katie O'Brien, she's in, you know, in Walking Dead with repeated roles and now a TV
right.
show.
Yeah.
Hey, she's
yeah.
in one of my films. So,
right.
you know, so it's the other side of the aspect too. So it's just great for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And here you are getting a call from Eric Kier on the Star Chamber show. So, I mean, on all new level of excitement. There
yeah.
you go.
Yeah. I appreciate that, Eric, man.
Hey, listen, man. That was just good stuff, man. Because for me as an actor and working in front of the camera, even behind the camera, you know, that for me as a person who's also creative, to be able to get some kudos like that from someone on a director level, it's a big thing. Because even though I'm not really wired as a personally that I have to have all that pats on the back, it's the encouragement
right.
part that comes with
right.
the pat on the back that helps me
right.
to want to create, to, you know, to be creative and continue with that. So it's good
right.
stuff, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
good. It's good mojo juice to keep you going.
That's
yes,
yeah. right. That's right. We all need it.
Yeah,
we all need it.
Yeah, we do.
We just got a social media message from Eric Jude, the colonel himself, that says, Demetrius Witherspoon is an awesome dude. I have to say
no,
we
right.
agree.
Well, thank you, colonel.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I appreciate that. I hope I get,
yeah, you
I
got
hope
fans
I get the,
out there listening. I'm getting messages tonight.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Hey,
Sheridan.
Everybody that's listening, you know, we're gonna be at the Imaginarium, so we'll be having a cast out
oh,
there
heck
from
yeah.
Echo
Very
51.
Nice.
Fifth anniversary.
Yeah,
that's Demetrius
right.
will be there in the house. Woo! And,
yeah,
and you're,
right.
who are you gonna have with you? Do you know yet? You're gonna have
oh yeah,
you
yeah.
with
we're
you
gonna then? Have our lead actress Grace Carlton's gonna be there. She
mm-hmm.
plays Liz. In Echo 51 and Galaxy of Subversion. Silvio is going to be there. Wolf, and we're going to have Grace Kelly. She's going to be there.
Yay!
Grace Kelly!
And,
yay!
Yeah. And we got other actors coming in also. So we are going to be having the Submerge experience in full swing.
That's awesome.
And even
right
your
now.
Caller tonight, right Eric Kier, is an official guest at Imaginarium.
Yes.
So even your caller
Eric
tonight.
Eric will be there, too. Yes. Yes.
Nice.
I said we'll have a lot of rating people running around there. Yeah.
Sweet deal.
So submerge into the world of Demetrius Witherspoon at our fifth anniversary. You got it.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Are
so
you
going to
have some more of those dice? You going to bring those dice cards?
Oh yeah. We got that.
That was a phenomenal.
And then some other things happening. So, you know, it's really stepping it up a notch and bringing, you know, that experience to the ones, the convention.
Nice.
So that's gonna be fun. Yeah, that's going to be fun. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to that. Oh, man, though. I don't know. Eric Kier being in the same building, though, that's going to be trouble, I tell you.
Yeah, you mix that with bourbon, things could get crazy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, bourbon, this is going to add a little more heat to the fire.
Woo! I'll be hollering then.
Uh-oh.
Higher
Daniel
and
keeps me in
with
check.
Eric Kier.
Daniel's my sedative there. He keeps me in check. He tells me go sit down. He'll see me getting those crazy eyes, and he'll be like, Holly, go sit down now. You sit. And he tells everybody, I'm the only one who gets by talking to her like that. She won't kill me. Poor Daniel.
Oh,
Daniel, are you alive? Honey, where are you?
Yeah.
Daniel, there he is. Hello.
Yes. I'm still sitting here, hon.
Thought maybe went to sleep. Did you
nope.
have any more questions?
You're not talking about Michael.
Demetrius?
Do what, hon?
Did you have any? Yeah, I know Michael West, our co-host every other week, he actually went to sleep on us one week. He actually got in his chair.
He
fell asleep. And we're like, where the hell did Michael go? And I said, well, I bet he fell asleep. Sure enough, he did. He fell asleep in his chair.
He will never live that down with us. Never.
No.
Right in the middle of the shift.
Yeah.
Oh, he's done. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And it was a good show, you know, and I don't know. He just disappeared all of a sudden. Good thing he don't snore loud, I guess.
So Eric and Demetrius are both going to have to razz him. Eric and Demetrius are both going to have to go up to him and start at Imaginarium and say, hey, you're the guy that fell asleep on the Star Chamber show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do that. He'll be over on the seven-star wall, so go over there and, Michael West, go over and harass him. Fall asleep on the job.
Give him as much crap as you want. I promise it's all right.
Yep. Okay. Full permission. Yep. Daniel, did you have any last questions, honey?
I have one last question. Demetrius, what is your next project that you're bringing to life?
The next project is Submerge, Galaxy of Subversion, and it continues the story of the crew of the Ujima, which we've seen a little bit of them in Echo 51, and they are, let's see, I'm trying to figure out how not to give a whole lot away, but they are continuing their
mission.
It's all
right, mission. Just go ahead. Throw out the, killer soap.
Yeah.
Right. Well, they're trying to stop the Craig Empire and also Bishop character, Raz. We got a lot in store for that story. And if anyone out there has seen Echo 51, any questions you might have will be answered in this feature-length film. This will be my first feature. Everything else has been shorts, but this will be a feature-length movie.
Good, because the majors, I got a lot of questions.
There you go. He's gonna love it. He's waiting. He is waiting. Well,
all
to
right.
take it out, tell us where we can find your movie, how we can actually view them.
Okay. You can go to Amazon Prime. It's on Amazon Prime, Submerge Echo 51. It's on Roku, different channels there, Nandar TV. It's on China Mobile. And also you can go to our website, DV Entertainment Pictures with an S deviantpictures.com, and also our Facebook, Deviant Entertainment Pictures, and also Echo 51, and Submerge Galaxy of Subversion. And those are the same things for Instagram also.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then where can people find you, Demetrius?
They can look up Demetrius LaShawn Witherspoon on Facebook or our DV Entertainment Pictures Facebook page, and I respond to all of those because, you know, I'm doing it all for that. So so look out for
us. Are you on Twitter, Instagram, or any of those?
Yes, on Twitter and also Instagram. Instagram is DV Entertainment Pictures and Echo 51 and Submerge Galaxy of Subversion. So all three of those Instagrams, I'm on there.
Oh, wow.
Very cool.
Send us all that information so we can put it on the notes for the show.
Yeah.
And our social media, of course.
Yeah,
because now we're in what I call the bonus territory. This will be available, of course, on our archive version for streaming and download. But we want to make sure you got your, of course, links in for the live part of the show. This is part of the show. So how about you gaming? Because I did not get to ask you about that yet. What's going on with you as far as the gaming realm and the Submerge franchise?
Well, after we, before the film came out, one of our photographers, he had been doing some, creating some games, and I've been looking for somebody to create a game off my film and my franchise. So he stepped up the plate, and he created a game, a card game off of Submerge Echo 51, which is the rebels of Echo against the Craig Empire, and you have to keep the Empire from getting through the forest, through the mountains, into the city of Echo. Really fast-paced, fun card game. We've been working on that and getting the kinks out of that, and we pretty much got everything done. We're just working on some of the artwork before we completely roll it out. So it's been fun. We've been going to festivals and doing demos of it, and people's really enjoyed it.
Very cool. I think that's something that I know Eric probably finds interesting is that, yeah, just how you are growing this in so many different spheres with your, the book world, within the gaming world, within the, even the perfume world. And we joked earlier about, of course, the Broadway musical. Eric, I don't know if you caught this, but I earlier suggested that eventually he will have a Broadway musical of Submerge with Bishop Stevens singing one of the key songs. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
But,
okay, I'm gonna buy like 10 tickets to that, because I'm bringing people.
I told
you. Yeah, we're definitely going. It is New York. We're going. Road trip.
Yeah, we will commission a bus to bring up a whole group from Kentucky for that one.
Daniel, honey, bring your car about 4 days before we gotta leave, because it'll take you that long to get to me, and then we'll start out about a week before we gotta be there, because he has a carriage actually that's motorized now.
1901 automobile carriage. Yeah,
I have
motorized.
A horseless
carriage. And it only goes
carriage.
Like 40, so yeah, it'll take us a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah,
well, if I change out the engine, it'll get up to 40, hun.
There you go. we'll be booking.
And I want to give a shout out to Brett Robinson. He's the creator of the Smurge Echo 51 game, card game. And he's just been awesome.
That's cool,
on,
man.
Yeah, we'll have to have him call in and talk sometime about the game design on that. That is fantastic.
Yeah. Now, where can we buy this card game?
Well, right now,
yeah, right.
Yeah, it's not out yet, but we will
have
it in distribution. Yeah, but a lot of people don't know we already have buyers for the game actually, so we're trying to get it done. It's just been phenomenal and a blessing to have all these things happening. You know, just people really enjoying what we're doing and. I've had other game designers come up and say, hey, do you have an RPG about this, and, just wanting to expand it out. I was like, well, hold on, let me get this one out first, and what kind of helps is they, I have the IP, I have the ground floor of everything. All they would do is be expanding out on it, and they're going to push it too because, they're the creator of it, and so we're pushing together. And then that, it makes it, successful. Hopefully.
Well, that's another reason I love talking to you because you get that, the idea, and I know Eric, I want Eric to chime in on this too, but the fact that you create the room where you're not micromanaging all the other people that are creatively involved, where you let them, bring a little bit to the table, even though, you are the creator, it's your universe, but you do, you do allow, others to bring things to the table to help expand that universe and grow it. And I think that's definitely commendable. Yeah, because that's another reason why I think you are going to succeed, because you do give that room for people to bring their stamp to it.
Well, I try, and it's just treating people the way you want to be treated, and trying to make the best choice because that person they're going to have to do their part too, because I can't push it off. So it really is a team effort, so it's finding someone, they might have something to add to the Smurge universe, but they have to be able to help push also because, this train is moving, but it's because everybody else is kicking and making it move, So it's a team effort.
Well, in your case, being science fiction, it's not just a train; it's a starship, man. You got science fiction covered. So.
A fleet. You have a fleet.
I like that, Holly. I might put that on a shirt.
There you go.
Yeah.
Take the fleet. That's great.
Take the fleet.
Yep.
Oh man. This has been a blast, man. I have really enjoyed having you on the show tonight. And thanks for calling in, Eric, because, God, it's good to always good to have a call from you.
Well, like
I said, I
was legitimately excited when I saw the post that Demetrius was going to be on because I have been following his work. And, I'm definitely a fan, especially, with the production value that I've seen. On an indie level. And the thing is, I really want to, and Demetrius, I really want to compliment you on the translation on Amazon, because I've seen quite a few of indie movies, on our level, and they just haven't translated very well. And I have to tell you, man, Echo 51 translated very, very well. And so I'm not sure what all that was involved with for you to get it to that point, but I mean, great job, because I said, I've seen quite a few on this level, and I couldn't finish watching them, because the quality was so bad, it didn't translate right.
Got you. Okay.
Right.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. You know, it's, you know, it's due to my team, too, you know, just trying to make sure everything is sounding right and looking right, you know, as much as possible.
Yep. If you got to take a little extra time to do that, you do it. That's the shape we're in right now, too. Yep. Sometimes you have to take a little extra time, but because you want it done great,
right?
You know, you don't you put in all this work, and it's you know, blood, sweat, and tears, and sweat equity, and you want to put out something great because Demetrius, like us, you know, plans to move this forward. It's not just going to sit on a shelf and never to be heard of again. We plan a universe, and we plan to, you know, move forward. Onward and upward.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
right.
We all understand that on this level, not everything's going to be the most perfect thing ever. I mean, that's
right on.
There's a budget. You know, but the point I just really wanted to make, man, was that when I watch it on Amazon, it's a good presentation.
Well done.
It's translated well.
Right.
Thank you.
Well done.
Because not everybody's doing. Not everybody's able to do that, and it's just hard to watch some of that stuff, you know. But
not even the last Star Wars movie is the most perfect thing ever. Oh, did I say that?
Uh-uh.
Yes, I did.
Huge budget. I'll say they had a big budget, man.
Yes, I did
say
that.
Oh, Lord, please help me on that one.
So even with a big budget, they don't get it right.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's right.
Oh
yep.
Man,
the budget don't always make the movie, you know.
Right.
Yeah. That's so true.
Yep.
So
that is very true.
Do the best we can and learn from each one, you know, and try to go to the next one.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Learn
well, I
from
hope
doing.
We have, get the chance to have you soon again, because you are nonstop. I mean, you are always at it.
Chugging
new
along.
Things are happening, and I'm sure that by the time Imaginarium comes around, you'll have the musical version going on Broadway. So
That's right.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, we might have a submerged convention, you know, a submerged con going on.
That'd be awesome.
That would be
awesome.
We'll
be there.
We'll be there, man.
We'll
definitely be there.
It's on my bucket list. It's on my bucket list.
There you go.
You got it, man.
There you go.
but thanks for calling.
I can help you with organizing.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we'll volunteer for it.
There
don't
you
worry.
Go.
But
so
thanks for calling in tonight, Demetrius. We have had a great time
you
with you.
Out.
Thank you.
And we'll definitely have you back soon. And Eric, we'll have you back very soon, actually.
Heck yeah.
I think in a couple weeks, believe it or not.
Yeah, a couple weeks.
So,
fun.
Yeah. And after the holiday on July the 4th, of course, we are back every week at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Wednesday nights. So definitely tune in for great creatives coverage and fun and substance. So that's it for myself. So everybody else can sign off, and we'll wrap this up.
All right. Peace out.
Yeah, thanks, Paul.
Daniel?
Good night, everybody.
Y'all have a good night. Thank you.
Good night, guys. Thanks.
Good night. Thank you, Star Chamber.